This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah wa alhamdulillahi wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. My beloved brothers, my sisters, this is the great day of Eid. Eid al-Adha, the Eid wherein which a sacrifice is made in order for us to learn lessons and to be able to benefit from. It was an act of worship of the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. No one brags about an act of worship. It was an act of worship that Allah loved. Ibrahim alayhi salam himself never came out and said, you know what I did? I did this. And all of you need to celebrate this. He never said that. Ibrahim alayhi salam did not have pride in him, boasting about what he did and telling everyone else to follow that because he did it. But rather, it was Allah who granted it acceptance as time passed and made it compulsory for all of us. Not for the meat of it alone. The meat of it is just a perk, if we can word it that way. The meat of it is something that is, yes, it's there for us to enjoy, but the enjoyment is not deserved if we do not connect and reconnect with Allah on this occasion. A person who's not interested in learning what the sacrifice is really all about doesn't really deserve to put a piece of that meat in his mouth and to say, wow, did you see the biltong I made from this meat of qurbani and so on? You know what? It's besides the point. You haven't quit the bottle. You haven't yet quit your gambling. You haven't quit your bad habits. So what's the point? But if you didn't even see the meat for some reason, but you quit your habits, that sacrifice of quitting something displeasing to Allah is far more beloved by Allah than just eating some meat and enjoying it and saying we did this and we did that and you should have seen the cow and how big the bull was and so on and so forth. My brothers, my sisters, Ibrahim alayhi salam's acts of worship were not announced by him. They were announced by Allah. When you engage in an act of worship, there's no point of announcing it. Today, at a time when we live in the social media hype, everyone wants to quickly advertise, so much so that a man has a phone in one hand and the other hands are in sujood, showing, hey, I'm making sujood for Allah. Okay, that might be a bit far-fetched, but you know what I'm saying. One hand in dua, the other hand, the phone is actually showing the one hand. What happened? You're supposed to be making that with two hands. They say, no, the other one's the phone, don't worry. That's the age where we've gotten. You give something, you want to show it. Yes, if you're doing something on behalf of others, where it's an organization responsible to carry out some duty upon them because they have taken it on their shoulders to do it for others, then if you want to take a few photographs or you'd like to document it to prove that the work was done, by all means, it is permissible. But my brothers, my sisters, it is Allah who allows a person to be mentioned after his death in a good way. In the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he speaks about it. In fact, in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about it. Allah says, we left for them, one by one, the messengers, a good word in others that followed later. Subhanallah. So Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, what happened? Allah instructed him to sacrifice his son. We've heard that so many times. Shaytan came to distract him and he managed to overcome the whispers of Shaytan and the trials of Shaytan. Hence, we have what is known the pelting of Shaytan in Mina. Today, as we stand here about to fulfill Salatul Eid, there are those who have gone for the pilgrimage and the Hajj. They are pelting what is known as the Jamarat. They are pelting the positions where Shaitan was at the time. So they say, the big one, the middle one, and the small one. Seven pebbles here, seven pebbles there, seven pebbles thrown at the last one. What is there today that those hujjaj and pilgrims have to go and pelt? Why? And you see people collecting little stones, pebbles, the size of a pea perhaps. And they are supposed to say Allahu Akbar and throw one. Allahu Akbar and throw the other one. Allahu Akbar until they throw seven there and seven there. That's the second and third day of pelting. The first day, there's only seven pebbles, the big one. What's the significance? There's no shaitan there right now. Shaitan was there at the time. So there surely must be some significance. Point number one, it is the obedience of the instruction of Allah. Understand it or not, Allah told you to do it, you do it. Subhanallah. That was Ibrahim alayhi salam. He was told, sacrifice his son. Did it make sense? The answer is no. It did not make human sense. But what did make sense is this instruction is coming from Allah. So when Allah instructs you to do something, do it. When Allah Almighty has ordained something, understand goodness is in it, even if it doesn't really make sense to you. That's it. When Allah says, stay away from this and this and this, stay away from it. And if you have fallen in it because you're a human being, turn back to Allah in repentance. Allah will forgive you. And when Allah instructs you to get up for Fajr and to do this and to engage in certain things, engage in those things because that is what there is goodness in. Why do we stay away from food and drink during Ramadan, during the daylight? Because Allah instructed. Later on, the health benefits and all those are perks. That's not the main aim. It's a perk. You ask someone, are you going to fast in Ramadan? Yes, because I need to lose weight. Well, your intention is totally wrong. Totally wrong. You need to lose weight. That's not the primary intention. It might come as a perk. And by the way, many of us gain weight in Ramadan because the way we operate when it comes to the time of iftar, like we haven't seen food. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us goodness and forgiveness. We thank Allah for whatever He's given us. So, that pelting, you need to realize what is more important is to remove the devil within you, the shaitan that bogs you down every day, helping you to develop your bad habits. That shaitan within is what you need to remove there in Mina when you're pelting. Today is a celebration of overcoming the devil's whispers in order to sacrifice something that Allah had asked. That's what today is. So all of us will enjoy the day when you get closer to Allah. Allahu Akbar, as the first stone hits the pillar. They built a pillar where this pelting should be happening in Mina. Some people actually go there believing that shaitan is there. And so I remember when I had gone for Hajj some time back, and a man took his umbrella and he started hitting this pillar. And people tell him, what are you doing? He says, no, this shaitan comes to me every day. It's about time I eradicated him. No, it's not that. Another takes a rock and he wants to throw the rock. And little does he know, he hits the head of a person who's in front of him. He says, well, that must have been shaitan. No, may Allah grant us ease. That's not how it is. It's the significance, a pebble, small pebble. The idea is to cleanse yourself so that when the Hajj is done, you return home as clean as the day you were born in terms of no sins. Subhanallah. You know when they say you return home as clean as the day you were born, it's actually cleaner from one angle, from one aspect. What is that aspect? You see, when you do good deeds and bad deeds and then you seek forgiveness, do the good deeds also go away? No, they don't. The bad deeds gets wiped out. The bad deed gets wiped out, and do you know what? The good remains. But when you were born, you neither had good nor bad. So what was better? From that angle, it's better now. I sought forgiveness. So much so that Allah has one Very powerful offer for us. Very powerful in the Quran.
Illa man taba wa amana wa amila amalan saliha fa ulaika yubaddilu Allahu sayiatihim hasanat.
Allah speaks about those who have committed sin and so on, and then He speaks about this beautiful offer that He has. He makes an exception and He says, those who have repented and thereafter done good deeds, which means you repent and you changed your life. Those are the conditions. Not just repentance and then suddenly you went back to it after a little while. Human nature, yes, you repent again if that happens. But if you repented and changed your life and quitted this habit, that whatever the bad habit is, and you cut it for the sake of Allah and your life changed for the sake of Allah, Allah said, you know what we will do for you? We will take all the bad deeds you did in the past and we will bring them forth and convert them into good, and we will put it on the right side of the scale for you on the day of judgment. So when you see a mountain of good deeds and you're wondering, where did these come from? Those were your bad deeds at one stage, because a time in your life came when you quit them solely for the sake of Allah. Because what's stopping you and I from sinning? Nothing besides the fear of Allah or the connection with Allah. Nothing else. So Allah says, because of that, we have converted it into good. And you know what we're going to do for you? We're going to put it as a good deed. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. That's the mercy of Allah. So that's the offer. When do you get that? You get it if you repent and you change your life. You see, so when a person goes for Hajj, generally, we would expect that when they come back, the life is changed somewhat. Some of the big things that bog you down. So let me show you something very interesting. See, when you go out for Hajj, may Allah take us all there. Just say Ameen. Because when you say Ameen, the first thing Allah has to do is to give you the money, the means to go. So when you say that, then you say, now say Ameen. Then everyone says it more loud. Because why? Hey, they want the money of it first. May Allah grant us ease. May Allah grant us goodness. So the Hujjaj, they are pelting. The first day, 7. They call it Al-Kubra, the big one. The major bad that you have within you. Can you get rid of it? Can you think about it? There must be about 7 big things you need to get rid of in your life. 7 big ones. What are they? You know them. Count them. 1, 2, 3. So I'm taking this pebble, boom. What happened? One of the bad ones went. I said, Allahu Akbar. I take another one, the other one's gone. The other one, the other one's gone. This is something automatically you should feel because you're in Hajj. You're there. And for us, we are celebrating what? The sacrifice of Ibrahim alayhi salam. We're putting a knife to our bad habits. Or we're going to enjoy the fact that the knife was put on the bad habits. You may not have your own animal if you cannot afford it, but at least somehow you will get to benefit from it and enjoy the celebration. So this is Allah. This is the beauty that Allah has given us. It's up to us to search within us, what are my bad habits? What am I hooked onto that I'm not supposed to be hooked onto? It could be pornography. It could be adultery. It could be alcohol and gambling. It could be whatever else it may be. If I need to stop something I'm addicted to for the sake of Allah, I should do it without even waiting for a season. But Allah gives you a season to become more conscious of it. To say, you know what? Come on, this is the Eid of sacrifice. What are you going to sacrifice? My bad habits. These 7 things, quit. That's it, it's gone. And next day, they take 21 pebbles. They have 7, 7, and 7. So big habits, middle habits, and smaller habits. But they all need to go. Obviously, primarily in the hadith, this is not mentioned. I'm only telling you that as a person who wants to cleanse himself, it's important for you to think of what bad you need to eradicate. To eradicate it, many of us have jealousy in our hearts. We see someone with $1 more and we can't stomach it. You can't sleep at night. You need sleeping pills. Why? Because the guy has $1 more than me. He bought a car 2023 and mine is 2022. Oh, I can't sleep. Come on, man. How can you be connected to the world? Take that out. The pebble needs to be thrown onto that pillar and you say, Allahu Akbar, and that Satan is out of your system. So what? That's what it should be. Are you living? Yes. Did you have food? Yes. Do you have clothing? Yes. Are you okay? Yes. Thank Allah. Work hard to build yourself. Yes, by all means, everyone wants goodness. But build yourself in two things, not just one. You don't build yourself only that I need better food, a better transport, better clothing, better place to stay. We fight in our lives from birth to death because we want better to survive for the few years better. But we've already got the necessity. If I ask you, do you have clothes? Yes, but I need better clothes. You have food? Yes, but I need better food. Yes. Do you have a house? Yes, but I need a better house. Do you have a car? Yes, but I need a better car. What are you fighting for? Better. That's what the whole sacrifice is about in the case of those who are weak. May Allah strengthen us. May Allah strengthen us. But in essence, there are two, like I was saying. One is working towards the worldly items that are beneficial, but you need also to work on your connection with Allah. How is your relationship with your prayer? Did you pray Fajr today? That's the question. Did you pray Fajr today? Have you prepared already in your mind what you're going to do about Dhuhr today? Have you? If you have, oh, good news to you. Good news to you. What about your Asr? Is it there? Your five prayers. Are you weak? So what steps are you taking to strengthen yourself? Because a day will come when you're going to go back to Allah and you have absolutely no option but to go back to Allah. And the first thing you're going to be asked about is as-salah, as-salah. And you have to answer about that salah. So if you have it in your heart, listen, I need to work on this habit. That thought and idea, good news to you, it's a very good thought and idea. Now work towards it. Don't keep on all your life saying, I have to do. I have to do. Some of us, that's what we do. The guy says, you know what? Hey, I have to get this done. A year later, I have to get this done. 2 years later, I have to get this done. Brother, you'll die, you'll be in your grave saying, I had to get this done. But you're gone. You get it done now. Come on. May Allah help us to strengthen ourselves. That is the essence of Eid. Eid is a celebration. A day of joy, happiness. For what? To get closer to Allah. Many people on the day of Eid, sadly, they become entrapped by shaitan's whispers. They do the wrong things. They go to the wrong places. Sometimes they consume the wrong things. Be it the Eid after Ramadan or this Eid that we have right now, Eid al-Adha. At least please Allah. I always tell the brothers and the sisters, your dress code on the day of Eid, please make sure it is pleasing to Allah. Because this is a beautiful day given by Allah. Don't wear clothing that's going to displease Allah on a day like this. Not to say you're allowed on other days, but become more conscious about it today. That's what it is. Let's enjoy the days, my brothers, my sisters. We ask Allah Almighty to grant us from His goodness. We ask Allah Almighty to grant us from the blessings. And we ask Allah to help us eradicate our habits, our bad habits. We throw them away. Just like the Hujjaj would be throwing the pebbles at the pillars that have been made these days or now in the places where Shaitan was. In order that we protect ourselves from Shaitan coming in the way of our relationship with Allah. He mustn't come in the way. And whenever he does, an effort is required to pelt him. You see that? An effort is required to pelt him. Because Shaitan's going to whisper. The surah, if you look at Surah An-Nas, Allah Almighty says, "Alladhi yuwaswisu fi sudurin nas." He's speaking about being protected from the waswasa, which is the whispers of the devil. Where does he whisper? He whispers in your chest. That's what he does. Inside here, your mind, your heart, your soul, he wants to whisper and try and confuse you or make you believe that you're going to gain something by that which is displeasing to Allah, and that's not true. It's either temporary or there's either immediate destruction. This is Allah. My brothers, my sisters, I want to say one thing. As Muslims, we are very fortunate. We have a pure, clean way of life. It is sober. It is free from intoxicants and anything harmful. It is a life free from oppression, free from harming others. We're not supposed to. One might say, well, it's happening. If it's happening, it's not because of Islam. It's because of the weakness of humankind. Free from bad words. Discipline. That's our religion. When we look at each other, we should be seeing amazing, wonderful human beings who are prepared to help one another for the sake of Allah. We should be seeing brothers and sisters of ours whom we can rely on when we are troubled. That's Islam. When we look at one another, we see people who are champions, leaders, successful in the deen, in the dunya, in the even in the akhirah. We ask Allah to grant us that success. So thank Allah that you are a Muslim. Thank Allah you are a submitter. Imagine, part of my faith is that I need to give what Allah's given me away to some others. Part of it. That's part of my faith. A pillar of Islam. You're not a Muslim without giving away things to those who don't have what you have. Allahu Akbar. Come on. Tell me about that faith. Tell me more about it. You're not a Muslim. It's a pillar of Islam. If you don't dig in your pocket and take what Allah gave you and give it to those who don't have it. That's it. Zakat. What is zakat? تُؤْخَذُ مِنْ أَغْنِيَائِهِمْ فَتُرَدُّ فِي فُقَرَائِهِمْ. Simple. It's taken from those who have and given to those who don't have. Done. That's a pillar. Allah says, if you have something and others do not have, obviously there are levels, but I'm just mentioning it broadly. Then part of your faith, it is a pillar. You are not a true believer until you dig into what you have and take a portion of it and give those who don't have. Allahu Akbar. What a beautiful faith, man. Subhanallah. May Allah Almighty grant us goodness and may Allah open our doors. If we lived by what Allah has ordained, we would eradicate suffering on earth. The difficulty is we use the same faith sometimes to try and hurt people, harm people, oppress people, and yet we claim to be religious. Oh, that's where the problem lies. Learn to make people feel appreciated. Learn to empower them. Learn to give them a good word wherever they are doing the right thing. And learn to discourage them from evil in a beautiful way that they look forward to giving up their bad habits. Because when you swear someone, when you belittle them, no matter who they are, when you belittle someone, you have actually chased them away from the religion of Allah. If your outlook is that of a Muslim. Imagine you see a person, they outwardly they look very Muslim. And as you get nearer, you hear them swearing, screaming, shouting. And what's somebody going to think about Allah and His Rasul? And yet, what you are doing is not even connected to what they taught or they asked you to do. So this is a day of cleansing. This is a day of cleansing our worship so that we only render acts of worship for Allah and to Allah. No one else. This is the day of Tawheed, to be honest. It's a day of the oneness of Allah. Allah alone. Look at what we say. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, walillahi alhamd. Allah is the greatest, Allah is the greatest. There is none worthy of worship besides Allah. Allah is the greatest and all praise belongs to Allah. That's the statement of the day in these days. Tukabbirullah. You are supposed to be declaring the praise of Allah, the greatness of Allah. So this is a day of cleansing our acts of worship only for Allah. And also cleansing the heart. Jealousy, hatred, malice, the dirt, the evil thoughts, the negative ideas. Something happens and the first thing that comes to your mind is something so negative. Come on, my brother, my sister, you are asked by Allah and His Messenger to think good of others. Think good of a situation. You see someone and the worst thought comes to your mind. Why? You need help before them. That's what it is. Think good of people. Think good of them. What will you lose? Nothing. But when you think bad, what will you lose? Everything. That's what it is. May Allah Almighty help us to help one another. May Allah Almighty accept your sacrifice, my brothers, my sisters. Let's enjoy the day. Let's enjoy the season of the next few days. And let's learn to reach out to one another in goodness. And let's appreciate the favors of Allah upon us. The bounties of Allah. And ultimately, let's put a knife to the bad habits that we have and anything that is displeasing to Allah. For indeed, even if you've eradicated one bad thing today, trust me, you've achieved. Eid Mubarak to one and all. أقول قولي هذا وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد.